In the studio with me at the moment, I've got Oliver Bonner. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Oliver is part of a group that have just started a new company. And with the increasing older population and the very high cost of care, there's a need to help them live safe and healthy lives as they grow older. If you have older parents, or indeed if you're an older part of our residents here in Cambridge, you perhaps know that sometimes it's difficult. There's lots of things going on in the news about the NHS and how the beds are blocked because people can't be released to go back home again. Sometimes that's because of the situation with regard to not being able to be left on their own. And indeed, of course, as people get older, they often have to be moved into care homes. Right. Everybody likes to have their own space and enjoy their own lives and so forth. And hopefully, with your new invention, Oliver, you might be able to do that. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, the company, Cambridge ALT. ALT stands for?
Assisted Living Technologies. So okay. Cambridge Assisted Living Technologies. And we are a team of six second-year PhD students at the University of Cambridge. And we worked together, along with four other colleagues of ours, on a master's year project where we were given the topic of assisted living technology. And we identified that there is a real sort of need in society for a strong technology solution to allow older people to live safely and securely in their own home. At the moment, if somebody's at risk of a fall or another incident like that, often the decision has to be made to move them into residential care, which is, as you mentioned, is extremely expensive. We think that we are developing a technology solution which will hopefully allow those people to delay that point they have to move into residential care, saving them money and, more importantly, giving them the independence of living in their own home for longer.
Which is a very important factor for many people. I know I have one of my wife's mother, my mother-in-law. She is vehemently stands up for her own independence, and you know she is getting on very much in years now, but still wants to live on her own, which, you know, she lives in an up and down house and she's got a very steep staircase, always dangerous things. So the technology that you've put together your invention with somehow monitors all the activity in the house, is that right?
Yeah, so what we've developed, we're really interested in analysing, we're a data analytics company, but we get our data from sensors that are distributed around the house. So we're monitoring things like whether the kettle's been used, whether the TV is on or not, whether somebody's moving in the corridor, in the bedroom. So we've got these sensors that are distributed around the house, and we collect all of this data. We then look at it all and we build up a picture of that person's activity in their own home. And we use these intelligent algorithms, a thing called machine learning, which is a sort of a technique for learning how a system works. And we can build up a picture of what we describe as normal activity for somebody within their home. When the system identifies an event or something which is not normal, then an alert is generated and sent to a mobile phone of to a trusted individual, normally a family member, and that person can then respond and appropriate action can be taken.
So your sensors, you say it has around the house. Is that a difficult thing to install in somebody's house?
No, so they're extremely simple. And in somebody's home, they're absolutely tiny, and we can they go in the top corner of the room like you would have a burglar alarm.
Yeah. So it's not things like under the carpet or anything for walking on.
No, nothing like that. So they're really the sort of thing that we're looking at for putting into people's homes. Really simple, small boxes that are totally unobtrusive. We have different designs when we eventually come to the actual product design, and they'll blend in. So they're extremely discreet. And the idea is that it's almost completely invisible to the user. The user is just living in their own home as they normally would, and they don't have to sort of change their routine in any way. Essentially, the core principle is giving people their independence, and that's what we're really focusing on.
Now, you say that they have these sensors all over the house and whatever. Yeah. How and presumably they're sending back information to some sort of central point.
Yeah, that's right.
How does that information get back?
Yeah, so we have the sensors communicate wirelessly. So, for instance, uses the same kind of technology that if if you've got a Bluetooth speaker or that kind of technology, so low power wireless.
So would it be working by, say, batteries rather than have to have wires everywhere?
So it's all using the latest sort of very low power technology, so the batteries won't need to be changed for sort of a year.
So really, you just get the thing and stick it on the wall and that's it?
Yep, that's it. Get the thing, stick it on the wall and you're good to go. And then it connects to an internet connection, be it a broadband connection, or if that's not available, then we can use a mobile phone sort of SIM card based access point, and that the data then gets securely transmitted back to our servers, which will analyze the data, do the number crunching, and look for this pattern of activity.
So how accurate is it? Because you said earlier on there, you said that there's a period, I guess a learning period at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
So how long would that last for? What kind of things do people need to do? And, you know, how do you know whether that's accurate in terms of the normal activity?
Yes, absolutely. So the baseline, when it gets first installed into somebody's house, we'll use a generic picture of what... for based on our system testing, what sort of a normal person looks like. But obviously, over time, the system will learn what that particular individual activity looks like. If you compare this to what happens at the moment with the existing systems, either you have really basic thresholding. So, for instance, it could be, has the person made a cup of tea between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning? If they haven't, then an alarm is raised and... the alert is generated, but that's what we describe as a dumb system. It's not thinking. It's not learning how that person works.
Can you tweak it? So, for example, you know, it may well be that somebody, as you say, has a cup of tea every evening at 7 o'clock, but maybe one night they've gone out somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a tablet interface where the person can interact with the system. They can look at the data. They can say, look, maybe I'm not going to be in tonight. And so there's also a door sensor. So the door on the entry and exit point to the house. So we know when somebody's left the house. So it shouldn't really require that kind of interaction, but there is a feedback system if required. The system, to go back to the point I was making earlier, is that the existing systems, they work on alerts based on single data points, whereas we're looking at multiple sensor data. And because of that, our system is more robust than is what is currently available. Yeah, and that's really important. So the number of false alarms has been massively reduced compared to what's out there at the moment.
Okay, we'll just stop there for some traffic information. That's Oliver Bonner from Cambridge Assisted Living Technologies with me this afternoon talking about a new invention that his company have just come up with to help elderly people stay at home in their own houses as they grow older. It's 20 minutes to 3. Oliver, you didn't start the company on your own, though, did you? But although it did indeed start just this year.
Yeah, that's right.
So, sorry, hang on, there we go.
Oh, back in the game. Okay, there's six of us who are part of the company. So we're six second-year PhD students. We're all from science and tech backgrounds, but very different fields. So I'm working on wireless sort of medical electronics. Another guy's working on instrumentation for exoplanet research. So we're very, very different sorts of backgrounds and fields. And it really sort of adds to the dynamics within the team.
So how did this come about? Was it one of you just had the idea, let's have this?
No.
You know, did somebody say to you, gee whiz, I've got this old relative, we really need something. How did it come about?
So we were working on, we're all part of a master's and PhD program called it's a Centre for Doctoral Training in Sensor Technologies and Applications. And it's a one-year master's followed by the PhD. And on the master's part of the program, there were originally 10 students on that. And we were all tasked with coming up with a project under the title Assisted Living Technologies. And we sat down and we brainstormed and we saw this real need for a strong technology solution to help older people in this country.
Is there nothing like it at all on the market?
These sorts of systems do exist, but they use antiquated technology. They're out of date. They are expensive because they use out of date technology. So, for instance, on the data processing side, the larger companies will use armies of people in a building to process the data. people are obviously extremely expensive at doing these things, and what we're looking to do is have a system which does it automatically, which will increase the robustness of the system, so we'd remove that human error as well, and really try and reduce the cost, and that can be transferred onto people, so the consumer, or indeed social services, NHS, so these sorts of people who are looking to save money. We believe that our system can really offer that and offer the a better solution than what's out there at the moment.
Now, you're saying to me off air that you're an engineer by discipline, and your colleagues, they're also engineers?
So some guys working in science, Josie, one of my other colleagues, she's working in engineering as well, as is Isabella. So yeah, there are three of us in engineering, two in physics and one in biology.
Okay, so you've got the technology, you've got the idea, yeah. You've developed the technology, you've got a whole load of engineers. What you need now, I guess, is to have some path that you can launch it onto the market. So what's your thoughts about that?
That's right. So currently we're seeking our first round of investment. So we need money to take the development even further. We need to, we've got a proof of concept of the system, but we need to take it forward to a minimum viable product. From which we can do user testing, make sure everything's sort of working exactly as it should do, getting everything certified, these sorts of things, making sure it is ready for the consumer. And we've already established links with some corporate partners where we might be able to get these into things like retirement housing, and indeed with social services. So we're sort of at the very early stages of the company, but yeah, we're sort of,
you need to commercialise it, really.
Yeah, it needs to be commercialised.
So that will require you partnering with a manufacturer at some stage, I guess.
Yeah, so slightly different to that. So the hardware side of things, we will be purchasing in the hardware, working with sort of manufacturing partners.
So you'll subcontract the manufacturer of that?
Yeah, the core part of our system is in the data analytics. That's where the real value that we're adding lies. It's where the sort of the smart part of the system is. The hardware is these kind of sensors. They've existed before. Will make them look better than the sensors that are out there at the moment, because frankly they do look awful, they don't fit into people's homes, so we'll make them look better, but the hardware development side of things is not something.
So the added value that you're bringing, the hardware, as you say, exists just now pretty much, but the added value that you're bringing to it is that you're actually applying the technology that you've developed on those sensors.
That's quite right, yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
And tomorrow you've got a meeting with Daniel Zeichner.
Yep, that's right. Yep, so we're meeting Daniel, who chairs the all-party parliamentary group on data analytics, which is the group is designed to sort of bridge the gap between industry and government, and indeed the public, looking at things, exactly the sort of things that we're doing. So working with very large data sets, and how you go about analysing these data, and what sort of policies government needs in place. So he's really interested in this sort of
what are you hoping that he'll be able to bring to the party for?
So it's about starting the discussion about sort of government policy on analysing data, things like data security. It's extremely important. I mean, we live in a world where there is so much data generated, and it needs to be kept secure and private and all of that sort of thing, and we want to engage with Daniel on these sorts of topics.
I guess that's an interesting point you raise there about keeping it private and so on, because with the word hacker is so commonly used these days, and if you're using the internet as a means to communicate, then arguably taking it to its logical extension, you could find somebody who would be maybe hacking into that data and discovering that the person actually was not in the house at the time.
Yeah, so hacking the system is obviously an extremely important part of where our system needs to be robust. We'll be using the sort of the highest strength, sort of banking grade security, sort of like military grade encryption, these sorts of things. And we'll do sort of testing. We'll get external people in to come and do penetration testing on the system. It's security is clearly an important part of the system. We want the user to trust the system because if people don't trust the system, then they won't use it.
Well,
it won't bring the benefit.
Exactly, because in a system like that, fundamentally, that this system is all about being confident in the information that it sends back, because clearly the whole raison d'etre of the device or devices is to ensure that you can take the worry out of wondering about your relatives and so forth. So that, I guess, has to be a key component to
Absolutely.
Reliability.
I mean, it really, and the security of the data really underpins how we will go about implementing these algorithms that we're developing. And as I said, it is a key part of our proposition, having something that's secure.
Okay, so when all that's done, you've developed, I assume that you've still got a little bit of development left to
yeah,
go and whatever.
Right, yeah.
When you've had your conversation with Daniel Zeichner and so on, then it becomes a commercial activity, and I guess there's two things to ask, which is what kind of timescales have you got in mind, and also, you know, have you any sort of idea as to what pricing levels these things will be?
Yeah, so in terms of the timescales, yeah, you're quite right. We do need to do development work. We need to do all this testing. So we're looking at sort of 18 to 24 months' time that this will be sort of on sale. We are working with commercial partners that we've already established. We're looking to try and take this into places like retirement housing, so the construction of retirement housing, and then forward into places like social care, and indeed straight direct sales to the consumer. So there are plenty of people that we've spoken to who this would be great for my mother or grandmother or what have you. So we want people to be able to buy this. In terms of the pricing, for the consumer side of things, the sort of thing that we'll be looking at is kind of like a mobile phone type contract. So the hardware is essentially not going to cost very much, if anything at all, and the there will be a sort of a monthly fee that's paid, which allows us to ensure that the data analytics, the server side of things, is up and running, and making sure that we can continue to develop things further. So that's, we want to keep the amount of money that people are paying sort of up front, but as low as possible, because we want to get this into as many homes as possible, and we really think it can help help people.
Sounds like a brilliant idea. Have you thought about applying to Alan to see if you can get on there?
Yeah, we'll see about Sir Alan. Maybe Dragon's Den, who knows? We'll see.
Excellent. That's Oliver. Thanks very much for coming in, Oliver.
Thank you very
Best
much.
Best of luck and your discussion with MP Daniel Zeichner tomorrow. What time's that? You got that?
It's 1:45, I believe.
All right, yeah, okay. Yeah. So you'd be best dressed for that.
Yeah, then. Absolutely, yeah. Suit on and everything.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much for
Thank
coming
Thank you
in.
Very much, mate.
There we go. That's Oliver Bonner. Oliver is, as I said before, there from the company that he and his colleagues have just started up this year, Cambridge Assisted Living Technologies. They're graduates from Cambridge University. It sounds a great idea. I think I'll be in the first of the queue. Contrary to what Barack Obama said, I'll be first in the queue to buy one of those, I think, for one of my relatives.